of memareach and skincare, followed by a quiz, followed by starting on the next topic, which is partially about CPAP machines, but it's really a bigger topic. It's going to be about, in general, concern for health, which is going to become an issue after Shabbos, and what one can do about it on Shabbos. So that has short-term, medium-term, and long-term applications. Any questions from the stuff that we did on Monday? No? Yeah.
Not on Monday, just in regards to the quiz. What format is it? Is it like the
same format as usual?
The questions, or it's like, this is the person, what are we going to do?
Oh, you'll find out. I would answer you, but I don't remember what I was asking.
Nice.
I'm not being difficult, I just don't remember.
That is fine.
Sure.
Is today the quiz?
Yeah. I did tell you on Monday that we were going to finish the topic and then have a quiz on it. Okay. There was one question that was asked last time, and the Rebecca who asked it isn't here, so someone will convey it to her, about shinui. The question was, what about a shinui in which what everybody else does is, bless you, say it differently, your way of doing something normally is unusual for everybody else. So let's say you lived in a world in which there had been no pandemic, and you decided, for whatever reason, you're going to push elevator buttons with your knuckle instead of pushing them with your finger. So comes Shabbos, and you need to use the elevator for some reason or whatever, and need to use a shinui for it. Does it count for you to use your knuckle? Do we say, go by what's normal for everybody else, and it's unusual for everybody else, but counts as a shinui, right?
Even if you're normal using your knuckle?
Right, that's the question. It's not a statement, it's a question. Would it count as a shinui? So I thought about it after class and realized, of course it's not a shinui, because of a case that we saw. Right, we talked about a lefty. Right, we said that if a lefty writes with their left hand, that does not constitute a shinui. Even though, for most of society, that's unusual. Nonetheless, because it's normal for you, it's not valid as a shinui. So the rule is it has to be something that is unusual for you. That's the answer to the question. So somebody remember to tell that to Rebecca, please.
I have a sole question.
Okay.
In my notes, I have source 1, 2, and 4, not 3. Is that correct?
The ones for today?
No.
I don't think so. I think there was a 3.
Oh,
you're saying that we never addressed source number 3 last time?
Yeah.
What was source number 3?
Actually, never mind. I do not.
Yeah.
That was the jam.
Okay. Yeah, that was the jam. Okay, good.
Thank you.
No problem. All right. So we started on the three leniencies for memareach, right? The one that we spent time on was the one that's really the longest discussion, and that was the issue of memareach, where it's going to be absorbed entirely. So we had this idea based on the Magen Avraham to say that if it's going to be absorbed entirely in the skin, then maybe it doesn't violate memareach. And we had two objections to it. Anybody remember what the objections were? Yeah.
It's not about destroying.
Right, so one objection is, in terms of the theory, Rav Neuwirth says that the point of the Magen Avraham was not that it's being absorbed, is that it's being destroyed, which is not the case where it's absorbed as part of its function. Golly?
The other one is that things aren't actually fully absorbed usually.
Right, just a practical implementation. They're not actually fully absorbed. You could be talking about an emollient which softens the surface of the skin on the surface, or you could be talking about an occlusive, something that leaves a layer on top of the skin to block the transfer of moisture. So both of those are not fully absorbed in the skin at all. Yeah?
Does that mean that this, point of those objections are made to uproot this leniency that if it's getting absorbed into something, that smearing it would be okay? Where do you stand?
Right. So if it's the practical objections, it's not uprooted. It's just you have to find a case where it's really being absorbed. On the other hand, if we're talking about the theoretical objection, then you're basically uprooting it. You're saying it only applies where this is a destructive act, where you're getting rid of whatever it is that you're rubbing in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The one where whatever's being rubbed in is completely destroyed, and not in a functional way, not like it merges with the material in a good way, but where it's just, it's a destructive act. So that's not memarayach. Yeah.
What constitutes destruction? The act that you're doing, like intention, like what does that mean?
It means it's gone. Right, no, but gone not in a functional way.
Okay,
yeah, where it is having the impact it was meant to have, and that's merging with this material in order to change it, that's not destructive. Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah?
Do we need to use the, like, know the terms that you used of the, like...
Emollient
that,
and occlusive?
Yeah.
No, that's just me showing off. That's not...
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, you do not need to. However, they happen to be good words. It's important to have a vocabulary, so remember them for that reason. But no, you will not be graded on it. Yeah?
Okay.
The Rama about the jam?
Yeah, like the food part specifically.
So, right, so the Rama was just quoting the Mordechai, right? The Mordechai was the one who said that since memareach is from memachik, and memachik is part of the process of ibud, of working a hide in order to produce leather that you're able to work with, and that's not food related at all. Therefore, memachik and memareach will not apply to food. However, the Mordechai, and therefore the Rama, threw in this idea that it would be good to be strict if you're talking about a food that is not edible until you do memareach. You're actually making it edible. Maybe there it will be a good idea to avoid it. He doesn't explain why. But that's what he says. And the Rama gives the example of some kind of an apple thing. So I floated two ideas. One is the idea that it's really not considered food when you do it because it's not edible at that point. And the other was the idea which we saw in the Bi'er Halacha. Right? The Bi'er Halacha said, what? I don't remember now. And my notes, well, my notes are on my computer. Anybody want, actually, no. The Bi'er Halacha said that it's because it's meant to be decorative. Because your meruach act is not a food act, it's a decoration act. It's like something that is not being done with food. That's the Bi'er Halacha's explanation. So that's why you should be strict. But if you ask what the letter of the law is, it's mutter, because you're not really the heter for memareach of food is this is food. It's not leather. But when you're doing it as decoration, so you're not really doing it as food. You're doing it as something else. That's the Bi'er Halacha's explanation. And you know, again, letter of the law, no, the Rama says it's fine, but as something to be strict for, okay. So in the event that it's really not being done as food, it's just being done to make things look nice, it will be an issue. So what it means is, if you want to put icing on the cake and you want to satisfy the position of the Mordechai and the Rama, you should do it in a way that's not really decorative. Ice the cake the way you really want to ice the cake, which is in order to be able to eat more sugar. That's why you ice the cake. So don't make it a nice, you know, decorate. Aside from all other issues that come up with decorations, as we mentioned last time, you know, designs, letters, and whatever else. That's a separate halachic concern.
Didn't you say in the end that it's fine?
Yeah, because it is all under the heading of Tavo Alav Bracha. If you're strict about this, you should receive bracha. It shows that you're going above and beyond. But by definition, if it's above and beyond, it's not halacha. It's above and beyond. With non-foods.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay? Good? All right. So that brings us to leniencies 2 and 3, which are much easier than leniency number 1. Leniency number 1 is the headache. Leniencies 2 and 3 are straightforward. So leniency number 2 is where you dab it. Someone actually mentioned this before, where you dab it on the skin, but you don't smear it at all. Okay? So you're not doing any smearing. Sorry?
I was going to say that that's not like a leniency when you're able to do machik, you're not doing.
Yes and no. Right? Rebecca points out, this is not a leniency permitting you to do memarayach. It's just saying, don't do memarayach, and therefore you won't have problems. But the leniency aspect of it is that nobody says, well, you know, it's really easy to accidentally just start smearing it because you're not thinking about it. Like, you say, I'm just going to dab the ointment, the acne cream, the bacitracin, the whatever it is, and then you end up smearing it because that's the way you naturally apply these things. That's the way it normally works. If you take a look at source number one, Rabbi Shua Neuwirth in the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa, he says, Tachboshes Shemeshucha, you know, why did I do that as number one? Hang on. I see why I did it as number one. Okay, it's going to be relevant for this leniency and the third leniency. That's why. This is relevant for both. So, Lee, I'm going to confuse your notes a lot. You deal. Okay.
One and three, not two.
No. It's going to be relevant for this leniency and the next leniency. Number two and number three. Okay? So just know that.
Can you repeat it?
Yes. So he says, Tachboshes shemeshucha aleha mishcha. If you have a bandage that has cream already on it, mutar lesita al guf hachole, you'd be allowed to put it on the body of the person who is ill, o agabe petza hagoreim lekeiv meruba, or on a wound that's causing a lot of pain, ad shenechlash kol gufo, to the point where his whole body is ill. In other words, ey, chole she'ein bo sakana. Umutter lasim tachboshes ala mishcha. You know, I'm not even going to read the last part because that's where leniency number three comes in. But leniency number two is, he says, if you have a bandage that already has the stuff on it, you're allowed to put it on the body of, you know, no, this is, okay. I used the wrong one. That's not the one that I meant to use. So I'm going to have to go back and give you a different source in Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa. The answer is I used the wrong part of Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa here. I understand why, but it doesn't matter. The point is, Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa is going to say you are allowed to dab ointment on, and even though I might have been concerned that you might come to shmir it, you just have to be really careful that you don't shmir it. I need to adjust the source on this one and upload it. Maybe I'll do it during the quiz. That's leniency number two, is that you can just dab it and be okay. You just have to be really careful. It's true that it's only for a chole she'ein bo sakana, though. Why? Is medication, exactly. You still need to justify it as medication. Separately from making sure you're not memareach, you still need to be allowed to use medication. You're only allowed to use medication if it's cholesh en bo sakana and up. So that's why it has to be cholesh en bo sakana.
Wait, but what if it's not medication?
So we'll get to that. Right now he's assuming it is.
What if it's an ongoing treatment?
Right, so there are other ways to get around the medication concerns, either if it's not medication, as we'll talk about, or it's an ongoing thing. All true. That's just not the case that he's dealing with. Leniency number three is really the focus in source number one, and that is where the smearing is happening via a bandage that is placed on top of the cream. In other words, you dab the cream onto a person's body, and then you place the bandage on it. Yeah.
Isn't that like kind of not really grumma then? Because like you might be even though you're not doing it, when you put a bandage on, like it's your intent with the cream that the bandage is going to be what spreads it out when it hits your skin.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that not? I'm twisting myself up here. Isn't that still problematic because if you're intending for it?
Good. So if your plan was to do this as grumma, then Ayelet would be 100% right. You're out of luck. This isn't grumma. Yeah, right?
Oh, I had a separate question.
Okay, so what is it if it's not grumma?
It's intentional completely.
Shinoi.
Shinoi. Right? It's a shinoi. It's an unusual way for people to spread cream.
But really,
it's
like,
only for
Cholish
and
Bostakana. No, but like people, like, also school nurses, like they don't necessarily put the cream necessarily on their skin completely. They'll put it on a bandage or on a band-aid, and then they'll put it on.
So this isn't talking about smearing it on a band-aid. This is about smearing it on the skin, and placing it on the skin, then the bandage goes on top, implies already leniency number two, that you're allowed to dab it on in the first place. That's why I ended up using this. Now I realize why I did it. because it already implies. Otherwise, how are you putting a bandage down on top of ointment? It has to be the ointment was dabbed first. But in order to address this question of, you know, as Rebecca points out, it's still a derabanan, right? Fundamentally, shinui is still a derabanan. Look at source number two. Look at what Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, and then Ray, I'll come back to your question. He says, "Umasha mishcha nimreches ayadeshu sames hatachboshes." Even though the cream is going to be smeared when you place the bandage, yesh lomar, you could say, he says two things. Number one, dehava memareach kila achar yad. That acronym that you see there, bless you. That acronym is kila achar yad, like with the back of a hand, which is the term that we use for shinui. Ve'od, and he offers you a second point. You are not trying to smear it to create a smooth surface. All you want to do is cause it to spread. You put down the bandage, and the cream goes blurp in different directions. Okay, that's a word you will need to remember, Danielle.
Blurp.
B-L-U-R-P.
Oh, wait.
Blurp.
Not warp.
No, blurp.
Blurp.
Yes.
B-L-U-R-P.
Yes.
Got it.
You got it. Okay. So the your goal is not to create a smooth surface. That's not what you're trying to do. All you're trying to do is make sure that the cream is going to spread out. So he combines the fact that it's shinui and the fact that there is no goal of creating a smooth surface. And therefore he says, it's okay. The gambutar, and then he says you could also, so I don't need to go add anything because this is Rosh Hashanah Zalman right here, you're allowed to put a drop of cream here and a drop of cream there. And then afterwards, put the bandage on top. You're not trying at all to smear anything. And to make it even and smooth in all of the places. So there is nothing wrong with source number one, and there's nothing to add. It's the combination of sources one and two which teach me that you are allowed to, number one, dab the cream on, and number two, you're allowed to place the bandage on top of it, even though that will smear it, because you're not trying to create a smooth surface, and any smooth surface you are creating is happening via a shinui. Keeping in mind, as Ayelet noted, if this is medicinal, it's also chol hashem bo sakana. That's part of your necessary heter. Leah, sorry, you were going to say? Yes. Smearing with a bandage is your third leniency. That's correct. Ray.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it's leniencies two and three, both in the Shemir Shalom's Yom Kippur, so number one.
And Rosh Hashanah Zalman's comment quoted in number two.
So it's both.
Right. Okay. It's already implicit in number... Let me make sure that this is somewhat clear, okay? The leniency of dabbing it on is implicit in source number one, because how would I be able to place a bandage on cream unless I put the cream on? So clearly I'm allowed to do that. And it's explicit in Rosh Lomo Zalman's comment about dabbing it in different places and then putting... No, we gotta wait, Leah. I want to make sure everybody hears this. It's explicit in Rosh Lomo Zalman saying you put the bandage on top of cream that you have dabbed on in different places. So that's how you're getting number one. It's implicit, that's leniency number two, sorry. It's implicit in source number one. It's explicit in source number two. The business of the third leniency of smearing via the bandage is explicit in both sources. That's in source number one and source number two. Okay, Francesca and then Leah. If the bandage is... Sorry, if someone wants to use a cream,
yeah,
that's medicinal?
If it's not medicinal,
yeah, so then it doesn't need to be chol hashem bo sakana. Yeah, then it could be for anybody.
And then you can use the bandage.
Yeah, yeah. Leah?
Rosh Hashanah already said in a different source that you're allowed to rub it on the skin because it's destroying it. So then why is it giving us cleaning?
he's giving you a case in which he's not destroying it, where there is going to be some on the skin, right? When you apply like an ointment on a wound, you don't rub it all in. You create a layer.
So he's saying two things. He's
two completely different things.
Okay.
Yeah. Ayala, you were going to say?
At what point does like using acne cream suffice as like being a foolish angel so or a really medicinal? Because some people just use creams like that for completely aesthetic purposes. Like your acne, even though acne isn't healthy for your skin, like people, like, it's not like the biggest deal in the world, and some people just use these creams just to have nice looking skin.
Right. So I would not view somebody who is dealing with skin issues like that as a choleshem bo sakana. Unless you gave me, you know, a case where it's affecting their mental health, and for that reason there's some kind of a choleshem bo sakana argument to be made, I would not view this as a justification. We had a discussion in the first semester about routine care for problems that are universal and whether that's called medicinal. So we talked about, as an example, sleeping medications for insomnia, or vitamins for certain vitamin deficiencies, and the possible argument that they're not considered medicine at all, in the way that food is not considered medicine. Ah, but food provides me with nutrition so I can function, my body can work well. Yeah, but it's not medicine, it's food. So maybe, and I underscore maybe, someone could make that argument regarding skincare issues. I think it's a reach. And I think they still have to deal with all of the problems of what they do about the schmearing, like how to do that and satisfy these different positions. Like I'm not giving a halachic answer regarding the issue of the acne medication. I'm simply pointing out I think it's problematic. That would be my statement. Daniela, and then Sarah.
What about somebody who, like, they have medication but they don't need it, but they become an addict, so therefore they are
So this is not a question about smearing. This
not
is an overall question.
Yeah.
Right, so we did talk about that a little bit when we talked about Rav Moshe on continuous treatment, where Rav Moshe said that in the event that halting one's treatment would create what he called a nervous breakdown, because they would know, I'm never going to get better, then there's a justification for saying, therefore it's allowed. So the question now becomes, what if you have somebody who has an addiction to some form of medication? You know, pain medication being the classic example. Would you view them as chol hashem bo sakana? And the answer is, depending on what the ramifications of their addiction are and their withdrawal are, you could consider it chol hashem bo sakana. Like, it depends on the state of their addiction. Yeah. Which does not mean that they should just feed it every day. You know, they need to get treatment. Sarah? Yeah, what was implicit in source number one, the fact that it said that the second half of source number one, mutar lasim tachboshes al hamishcha sha'al guf ha'adam, that you're allowed to put a bandage on cream that's on a person's body. How did that cream get there? Clearly, you were allowed to put it on the body. It can't be that you were allowed to smear it. It must be that it's talking about the dabbing, which is only explicit in the footnote from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach.
In three.
Correct. In two. We didn't do three.
Wait, so implicit in source one, explicit in two, and we will see three.
We haven't discussed source number three yet at all.
Wait, what? I don't understand.
We haven't touched source number three yet.
What the second and third leniency
are? The second leniency is you're allowed to, as Rebecca said, not do memareach. You are allowed to dab it on your skin, and we're not going to prohibit saying, well, you might come to shmir it.
In general.
Yeah. You're allowed to, having dabbed it, put a bandage on top of it, even though you know that that's going to cause it to shmir. And your reason why you're allowed is because it's a shinui, and because you're not trying to create a smooth surface.
So which source speaks for which one?
They both speak for both. They both speak for both. There was a hand on this side. Was it Ava?
Yeah, I got my hand.
Okay, great. Rebecca.
Like, they can't go see the thing with the cream on because, like, they'll feel like whatever. allowed?
So I'm not going to give a specific answer for a specific case like that because it's so case dependent. And really, it doesn't serve anybody any good for me to make a statement of, for OCD, one can do X. But the answer really is, it depends on what the ramifications are. When you're dealing with a situation of OCD, you also have to add in the concern for what is their treatment process, and does their treatment process involve this activity? So we talked about that when we talked about brachos, and the idea that making the bracha and not going back for it is actually part of their treatment. How could that apply here? I'm not clear, but something to consider as well. It's definitely worth a shaila. Like, it's not something that somebody should just ignore. It's something that should be asked. But yeah, each case really is unique. Okay, other questions on this? Yes, Natalie.
This could be either medicinal or aesthetic. What is the product, like the ointment, or just for aesthetic purposes? It's thick and it's in like a tub, and like to get it out, you have to like smear it. It's not like very squeezed out. Like you end by thereby you're like spreading it on your fingers to begin with.
Right, so I would make two notes. Note number one is that the fact that you, in order to get it out of the tub, are smearing it on your finger is not a consideration. Any more than a person who is going to eat ice cream, I mean, we would exempt the food anyway, but like you put the scoop in, you know, it smears it also, but that's not the issue. The other point worth noting is that the thicker this is, the worse the halachic situation, because the more makes it memareach de'oraisa. You know, we like the idea that we're playing around with creams that are derabanan, because they really like the semi-thick oil, not the real thick oil, you know, type of material. You don't want to get into like the wax type consistency and things like that.
Like vaseline would be.
Yeah. Sorry?
Sorry, like vaseline, for example, that would be considered like thick, more like de'oraisa.
So Vaseline, what did we say from Rabbi Ribia when we gave our examples? He viewed Vaseline as derabanan. Yeah. Vaseline and facial creams he called derabanan. He was very surprised.
Vaseline is very thick.
Yeah, you know what? I hear that, but that's what he said. I agree with you. If I were to ask this question on a hypothetical quiz that I were giving at some point, which is not, I believe, on this quiz, if I remember correctly, but if I were to ask what the rule for Vaseline is and somebody were to either say derabanan or de'oraisa, and, you know, to say it's thick, it's whatever, it's not thick, I would have to accept both because I hear the point.
Well, maybe he said specifically wax.
There's like subliminal. This is subliminal, what's going on over there.
Yeah.
Product placement over
like,
there.
Like, talking about, like, because I remember a context talk, but I remember talking about how, like, Vaseline can be, like, warm. Like, if you hold it in your hands, it's hot.
Yeah.
It changes the texture of it.
Right.
So then, if you hold it in your hands, like, I'm not saying, like, I'm doing it on purpose with my hands, but if you're holding your hands and it got oily, it would still be considered.
Right, then it would become the derabanan instead of the rice.
That's bonnet, no?
No, what it may be is where we're going next, but we're not there yet. Molded. Yeah, you were going to say? Oh, golly. Yeah, you were in the middle of saying something.
Oh, I was saying that if we said, like, completely do-right is, like, completely wax, like, then...
It's not wax, but on the other hand, it's not pourable liquid either.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not straightforward. One note that I wanted to add, though, from source number 3, finally. Rabbi Ribiat does not want you to... Well, take a look. Source number 3. He says, the ointment should not be applied to the Band-Aid first for fear that one will forgetfully smear and spread it on the gauze. So he wants you to apply it to the skin. He does not want you to put it on the bandage. Even though Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa seemed to be okay with that idea, we saw that in number 1. But Rabbi Ribiat is not such a fan because he is concerned that you might come to spread it. Yeah.
It might. The issue is that it would be applied to the gauze. If you put it on the gauze?
The issue is that if you put it on the gauze, you might really just, out of distraction, spread it on the gauze as opposed to dabbing it.
Because it's not your skin.
I guess. Yeah.
But I thought you were saying with the screenshot is that, like, implicitly, like, implied that you wouldn't be allowed to put Randy on if it wasn't dabbed.
Correct.
Meaning, but Shmir Shabbos is saying dabbed on the Band-Aid. Like, you would be allowed to.
So Shmir Shabbos Gilchus is allowing you to dab it either way, Band-Aid or skin.
Because it says that, like, if a Band-Aid that already has cream on it, then you'd be allowed to put it on. And we're, like, implying that that would have to have been dabbed.
Either that or it was there before Shabbos, which would be weird.
Yeah.
Correct.
So you're doing it on the gauze and it comes back to smooth, and therefore it would be all right.
No, he just seems to think you're more likely to actually do that. I don't know. We'd have to. What we'd have to do is install, like, you know, a camera and watch people apply cream on gauze versus on skin and see are they more likely to spread it in one or the other. I don't know.
Psychology.
Yeah, golly.
The bandage leniency is only for a cholesh in most of the
time. So the bandage leniency is not about cholesh in most of the time. Cholesh in most of the time is because you're assuming it's medicinal in your case, and therefore you need the justification of being cholesh in
bo sakana. So, like, I can only put on a Band-Aid if I'm a cholesh in bo sakana?
No. You could only use a medicinal cream if you're a cholesh in bo sakana. Let me help you out by telling you to wait 3 minutes or 5 minutes, and then we're going to come back to your question, and it'll be clearer. Okay? We're going to get to that. Hang in there.
Yeah.
Hang in there. We're getting there. Okay. But first, we have to address Daniela's question. I think it was Daniela. It was Daniela or Natalie. It was right over there, though. And that was, in the event that you are liquefying something, there's a potential other concern. We have been talking about memareach all through this discussion. But there's something else that's called molid. We've dealt with this before. Right, converting a solid to a liquid. Take a look at source number 4, Gemara in Shabbos. Ve'ein mirazgin lo es hasheleg v'lo es habarad b'Shabbos b'shvil she'azuvu me'mav. You are not allowed to be mirazik, to crush snow or ice on Shabbos in order to make its liquid flow. And Rashi says, ein mirazgin, what is mirazgin? Meshabran l'chatichos dakos, breaking it into fine pieces. Kadeshia zuvu meimav, in order for the liquid to flow, mishum de kamolid b'Shabbos. You are like creating the liquid on Shabbos. V'dami l'malacha, it's like malacha. He says it's like malacha. Shabore yamayim ha'elu, because you are creating this water. This is a dirabanan. It is not one of the 39 malachas. It's a dirabanan. It's sort of like malacha. Now, I'm not going into the discussion here in any depth, because it doesn't affect practical psak. Wherever memareach is not an issue, molid will not be an issue also. And some argue molid is not relevant here at all. So I don't want to confuse things by going into a discussion of molid. I'm mentioning it only because if you read up on this issue of applying creams on Shabbos, you will see some people who will mention molid. And I don't want it to be a shock, like, hey, I only learned about memareach. What's this molid thing? So now you should be aware there is a potential concern that some have as well for molid, because you're taking what had been a fairly solid cream, and by smearing it, you are liquefying it. That's a potential concern.
What malacha?
It's not. It's not a malacha. It's gezeirah derabbanan, because you're just creating something new.
Why the abonah?
Because you didn't build anything. That's not the same thing as building. Bona is building, not creating. Yeah, bona applies to building things where there's no creation whatsoever, right? I mean, if I were to take a bunch of bricks and, you know, put them together in a way that they'll stand, that's bona. What did I create? Yeah.
So like a candy, like a, well, you've also
created. So that's a whole discussion which I'm totally not getting into. Because I said in like 3 to 5 minutes we were going to answer Gali's question. And if I start on that, we are not going to answer her question. Okay. So the application of this is that you really have two questions to ask when you approach any case of applying a cream. Question number one is it memareach? or molid, but again, I'm not playing with molid. So is it memarayach? And question number two is, what's the second question? No. Yeah. Is it asur as medical treatment? Those are the two questions that you need to think about anytime you want to address any of these. And as a result, there are three ways to permit it. Okay, not two, but three ways to permit it. Way number one to permit it is if it's so medically necessary that, number one, you're allowed to use medical treatment. Number two, I'm flipping my numbers, sorry. You're allowed to use medical treatment. And number two, even if it's memarayach, it's mutter anyway. In other words, if you're dealing with somebody who is, you know, dangerously ill, and the cream is actually going to help them. So an example of that might be, if you have somebody with such advanced bed sores. Do people know what bed sores are? Okay. So bed sores, for those who are not aware, it's kind of gross, are when, as a result of friction and pressure, if a person's, let's say a person is stuck in bed for a very long period of time and they're not able to move, they develop, eventually, open sores on their body, which, left long enough, can actually become extremely dangerous to their health. So if you had a person who had a bed sore and it was discovered on Shabbos and now they're trying to take care of them, one of the things that they have to do is apply a cream. So number one, yes, it's memarayach, and I don't care because this person is in danger. And number two, is it usher's medical treatment? No, because it's entirely justified, right? So your first way to permit is if it's simply a health situation that justifies overriding both of those. Yeah.
If it's memarayach, it's okay because it's medical treatment.
Yeah. It could be memarayach, and I'm good with that. That's your first approach. Overriding need. Got it? What's the second way it's going to be okay? Right. Your second way would be to say, what if, number one, it's not memarayach, right? So let's say it is fully liquid. Let's say it's fully liquid, and that's how you get around your memarayach issue, and circumvent the medical issue. So you could circumvent the medical issue in a lot of different ways. One way to circumvent the medical issue is, let's say, it is the equivalent of machal briyim, healthy people food. It's something that everybody uses. So the argument might be made that moisturizer is something that people use routinely, right? If I'm willing to consider, like I said before, that sleeping aids might actually be considered something common that everybody has. Then certainly moisturizer is something that normal in, you know, particular climates, particular societies, but it's going to be considered something that everybody does. It's no longer considered medicinal at all. So as long as you can get around the memarayach problem by using a liquid, then the medicine won't be an issue at all. So that would be an example. Another way to get around the medical issue would be what Leah said before. What if it's something that's an ongoing thing? You do it every day. So that gets around your medical issue. Now you just have to solve your memarayach problem by using a liquid. Right.
What would be an example of this?
An example of which? So I suggested possibly, moisturizer. But I'm giving examples shortly. So let me actually go through the three and then come back to the examples. I think that's probably a better way to do this. Other questions on number two? Yeah, Ayala.
What about pure pain relief creams? Like, they're not medical at all.
So then, as a way to get around it also, as a way to circumvent the medical issue. Yeah, that would make sense, assuming it's not medicinal, it's just pain relief. It sounds like it, no? I don't know if it would work, but maybe you dab it and then you put the bandage on, and the bandage smears it.
Like, you know those creams that, like, joint pain relief stuff?
Yeah. That's an interesting idea. So I don't know enough about the mechanism to know, is the way it works that it's actually removing the problem, or it's just numbing?
No, it's just numbing.
It numbs it.
And it doesn't do anything medicinal?
No.
It would sound like it would be okay, no? It's an interesting question. I want to look it up and just see if anybody's talked about it. What you do need to remember is that you are now... You're now relying on the Taz by doing that. Just, Rebecca, you have to remember you're relying on the Taz by using the pain relief factor, which is a minority view. It's a strong minority view. Like, the Tzitz Eliezer liked it.
Didn't we say that was one of the exceptions of medicine?
Yeah.
Oh, but it's not medicine? Like, it's not even an exception to medicine?
No, what I'm saying is that it was one of the more controversial heterim of not medicine. That's all. So I wouldn't recommend just using it stam, but if a person needed it, then I would point to the Taz and say that Tzitz Eliezer quoted it, Rabbi Dr. Steinberg quoted it. That's pretty good.
Right.
They
someone are really sore and they can't, like,
yeah,
move.
Right. No, it's a very interesting idea. I am curious to see whether it's discussed anywhere.
If that person's sore and, like, can't move, would that be considered, like, a whole issue you go on anyway because it takes over the whole body? Or, like,
and if they really can't?
No,
I mean, no, because if they're bedridden, maybe you can make that argument. I underscore maybe. The reason I say maybe is because it's self-imposed.
Right.
Like, I would question it. Go back to the discussion that we had. I think we had this discussion. I know I did it first semester. I'm not sure I did it this semester. The issue of getting on the boat after Wednesday, we talked about that,
yeah.
Right? And one of the major reasons brought why you're not supposed to get on the boat is because you're going to make yourself seasick on Shabbos, right? So if I'm not supposed to make myself seasick on Shabbos, I'm probably not supposed to do an exercise routine on Friday afternoon that's going to make me so sore that I can't get out of bed on Shabbos.
Right.
That would probably be a no-no. Just, yeah. Yes, Francesca.
I just got it a little farther back. But can you re-explain why sedum oil doesn't count as mamreach? I know we read it in the Shulchan Aruch, but how is that not smoothing?
Because if it's a liquid that just spreads everywhere, then you don't create a smooth surface, because the minute you stop smearing it, it's just going to keep on flowing wherever it flows.
So because it, like, works on its own in terms of smooth, but what if you, even when
you can't successfully, I could not take the oil that we're talking about and say, I want a smooth surface here. I'm going to smear it and it's just going to create a smooth surface here. It's just not
right.
True.
Okay.
That's the idea. So the third way around it, if the first way around it is smash everything, there's an overriding need, forget all your fine thoughts about memareach and medical treatment. That's your first approach. Your second approach is use a liquid to get around memareach and circumvent the medical issue by either it's really what healthy people do, or it's an ongoing treatment, or it's pure pain relief, or all of the heterim that we brought. Your third way around it is going to be that there's no medical need and there's no issue of memareach either. Right? That's the logical, you know, the it's liquid and it's not medicine either. How is that different from B? Because B is where it is medicine. Like, I shouldn't have used maybe the example of healthy people. I probably should have used one of the examples that really it is medicine, but it's continuous care or something like that. My point is I'm trying to help you think it through in terms of the two questions. Because otherwise, I can totally envision you encountering a situation where, can I do this? Can I do the skincare thing? And thinking, well, yes, because I'm dabbing it or whatever, and it won't dawn on you, no, I also have to worry about the medicine question. So I'm trying to show you have to think of both questions. Either overriding needs, you take care of them that way, or liquid and I circumvent the medical issue, or liquid and it's not medicine at all. Those are my three ways it could be permitted. Yeah.
If you're using the liquid, it just has to
the leniency of leniency for dabbing. Yeah, then you do, now you just have to pass the medical. Correct. So to give examples of these, first of all, a medical need that is so great that it overrides the Isser of Memareach and the Gezerah regarding regarding medicine. So the first example would be soap to prevent transmission of infection in a potential pikuach nefesh situation. So the open wound, an advanced bed sore type of a thing, vulnerable immune systems, hospital settings where there are antibiotic resistant germs around. You know, all of those would count. If there happens to be a worldwide, you know, pandemic which can be communicated on the skin as opposed to something that's purely respiratory, you know, something like that, you know, that would be a concern.
That would get you out of the first, like I'm saying, meaning.
Yeah, that's number one. Correct. These are all examples of A. Yeah, Hannah.
It's a really strange question. Like this happened to me. I had a procedure on a Sunday, and I had to use like antibacterial soap the day before, like to wash the area.
Oh, that's
like,
interesting.
I hurt my hand. I had I didn't do it because I was able to work it out. But if it happened earlier on a Sunday, I had to 24 hours before.
So the question would be level of medical need for the procedure.
Right. If I had torn ligament, I had to have it fixed. If I had to use soap.
That's interesting. That's an interesting problem. It also
worked out for me fine, thank God, but like it had been different times.
Right. It's an interesting problem on multiple levels. It's an interesting problem in terms of the soap question. It's an interesting problem in terms of preparing for after Shabbos.
Right.
I don't know. I'd want to think that one through.
Okay.
It's an interesting question. Another example of a case of medical need that would override the medical side of it. Is a condition known as psoriatic arthritis. If you take a look at source number 6, I'm not really sure why I brought the source on the sheet, except that I think I felt like it was a good thing to know about. It's an illness which is manifest like psoriasis. I mean, it is psoriasis with patches on the skin, but it specifically can hit where the joints are and create a situation in which a person actually is going to be bedridden. They, as you see, can make it hard or impossible to move and use your joints. So, in such a case, the person is now chole she'en bo sakana. And since they're chole she'en bo sakana, first of all, it means that it overrides the issur on medical treatment. But also, what did we say you're allowed to do for chole she'en bo sakana? A derabanan with a shinui. Right, which is what you're going to do when you do this, right? You're smearing the stuff with the bandage. Even if you were trying to make a surface, it would still be the rabbanon with a shinui. And even better, actually, because we say that when you smear it that way, you're not making a smooth thing, so you're even better.
This isn't, what's it called?
A kind of aphir? No, there's no danger of loss of a body part. Nothing's falling off, nothing's not functional. No, the person undergoes episodes, and the episodes come and go whether you apply this cream or not. So it's not sakanas aver. There's no danger to a body part. There's nothing that's permanently dysfunctional as a result of it. Yeah, but it's not permanently dysfunctional. It's dysfunctional for a period of time, and then it'll get better. It's not sakanas aver, no. But during that period, it's extremely painful. So that's in terms of level one, overriding need. I'm sorry? In the event that you were using a cream that is only semi-solid, so therefore it's a derabanan, and you smeared it using the bandage. Yeah. Approach number B, I guess. Liquid and you circumvent the medical issue. So if you had a truly liquid moisturizer that's used by people who are normally considered healthy, so then it's liquid, so you got around the memareach problem, and it's this ma'achal briyim, this, you know, healthy people food circumstance. So that would be, I'm just trying to think whether I should have, yeah, I'll call it that, fine. Another example would be if it's not truly liquid, but I rely on Rosh Lema Zalman Orbach, right? Leniency number one. and it's rubbed into the skin. So if I really needed to, I would rely on Rosh Shlomo Zalman's hatter here, and talking about one that's used by people who are normally considered healthy. Or if it's not truly liquid, but I apply it to the skin and then the bandage is placed on it, right? And again, it's used by people who are normally considered healthy. All of these are relying on the same method of getting around the medical issue, which is it's used by people who are normally considered healthy, and it's also getting around the medical problem with one of our leniencies the memareach problem with one of the leniencies that we mentioned. And then finally, approach number three is there's no medical need, and there's no issue of memareach either. So an example of this would be a preventative liquid moisturizer. Right? Your skin is still fine right now, but you know that it's going to dry out and whatever. So you use it as a preventative before it's gotten bad. So that would also get you around the problem. Clear? Okay. So at this point, we're going to have the quiz. It's not a surprise. It's not terribly hard, I believe. But honestly, I don't remember. I'm going to send out the link.